TML country. It's time to dance.
Markin for three. Got it.
For Shanahan again, she scores.
Ace Cowens, top right corner, with half a second to go, and the Cats win.
Hey everybody, welcome to Catamount Insider. I'm Brian McLaughlin. This is episode 16, and if you're listening with us on a special Thursday edition of this week's episode, great to have you with us. We're producing this one early this week and putting it out Thursday morning because we hope to watch it ahead of the big Vermont men's basketball weekend. I sit down with Gus Yalden, known as the Gus Bus. It's his old social media handle. We dive into when did Gus start going by the Gus Bus and where he got the nickname from, and kind of talk about his journey in basketball, how he got to UVM, and what's been a great season so far for Gus and this Catamount team, especially of late in conference placing at 5-1 ahead of some massive matchups in Patrick Gym, both tonight on Thursday and on Saturday. It's UMBC in town on this Thursday evening, while the NJIT Highlanders Saturday afternoon. Both of those teams with Vermont, top three teams in the conference in the current conference standings. So wanted to get you a fun episode with Gus to talk about what's been a breakout season for the redshirt sophomore as far as his collegiate career is concerned. We talk about that, his relationship with the crowd, how he plays with emotion and where he gets those celebrations from, and just kind of what's going through his mind during some of those big moments. All that and more with Gus Yalden of the Vermont men's basketball team. Hope you enjoy this week's episode, everybody. Such a great time around Catamount country. Next week, I'm looking forward to hopefully joining some women's ice hockey players. We're going to talk some Olympics and talk about their great play of late. Going into this weekend, they have been red hot. So fun to talk about them as well as we go forward on this season of Catamount Insider. But for now, I'll take a quick time out. You're listening to Catamount Insider.
Morgan Stanley Wealth Management values long-term relationships with its clients. Built on servicing clients well, relationships spanning decades. Your local Morgan Stanley Wealth Management office knows that building relationships begins with getting to know each of our clients. That's because each investor has different goals. For more information, call 658-2424. Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Catamount Insider. I'm joined by Gus Yalden of the UVM men's basketball team. Gus, thanks so much for joining us, man. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, B-Mac. Excited to talk and be here today.
All right, let's get going. The team's playing good basketball right now. Middle of conference play, sitting at 5-1. A big weekend coming up, but coming off a big last couple of wins. Just kind of catch me up. Where do you feel like the team's at this stage of the season?
I think we're pretty excited, like, to see what we have going on in store for these next few games. They're obviously big games, but we're coming off of our best basketball, like you said, coming off of two really big wins with UMass Lowell and at Bryant. Two huge road trips that we got big wins at. So we came together. TJ Hurley's really starting to get it going now. He was the conference preseason player of the year, and he's playing like the best player in the conference right now. It's super easy to have him on my team and to have the reads going to him right now. It's been awesome. So I think we're coming into ourselves, and we're going to get the best basketball going now.
You're playing well individually as well. 16.2 points per game on the season. That's second in the conference. What do you think's been going well for you?
I think my teammates just do a really good job of getting me the ball when I'm in a good position to score, because they trust me that if I'm not in a good position to score, that I will find them and make the read for them to make a play or for them to score. So I think that trust is built over the summer and through the fall, and it was a little shaky at times in the beginning of the year, but I think as we've gone into conference and into these bigger games, they know that I'm in this to win, and I'm in this to play for each other, and that trust has grown.
All right, we're going to kind of rewind now a bit with you. I want to just ask kind of what led you to Vermont and a bit about your journey as a basketball player. So we'll start there. What was last year in the transfer portal like? You're coming off your redshirt freshman year at Seton Hall. Just kind of tell me about where your mindset was and what you were curious about when you entered the portal then.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to describe my portal experience in one word, it would be quick. The day after I was into the portal, I was hearing from the coaches. They were talking to me and my mom, and they had me on a visit immediately right away. That first weekend, I came out here, had a really fun time, was out with the guys. We went bowling. kind of hung out as a team, went around town. It was really cool. And as I kind of got here and was looking around, it reminded me a lot of my hometown in Wisconsin. I lived in Appleton, but I grew up in Waupaca, which is kind of like a lake kind of area. It's the chain of lakes, a bunch of lakes, trees, woods. And I grew up on a house in the middle of nowhere. And so just kind of coming out here reminded me a lot of home and my roots. And so it made me feel comfortable and kind of like accepted almost in a way before being accepted. So it was a really cool place. It reminded me a lot of home, and that's kind of what brought me here and led me here.
From a basketball perspective, what were the conversations like with the coaches?
Yeah, I mean, it was really cool to listen to them and kind of hear their perspective on what they wanted to use me as and how they would use me. And we watched a lot of film of Ryan Davis, a former player here, who played a lot for them and was a really good player.
Catamount fans have heard of him. Yeah,
Ryan Davis is awesome. And I really enjoyed watching his film and going over it with the coaches. And it's all come to fruition. Like everything they told me that they were going to use me as and put me in and actions-wise, they've done, and it's worked for us. And it's been really cool to kind of have these guys tell me something. And like other coaches say stuff all the time, and that part of the recruiting is to get you there, but like actually see it and have it come to life, it's really special, and it really means a lot and really puts a lot of trust in them for me.
You've had quite the journey, I would say, throughout your high school career into college. How would you kind of summarize that for people who don't know just about your travels and kind of just trying to find where a good spot was for you?
Yeah, I'm a nomad. I've been in everywhere. I've stopped and laid roots at a bunch of places. I started my basketball career in Wisconsin growing up, and then I had the opportunity to go to the modern day in California my freshman year. I went out there and COVID hit, and I wanted to play again. I had the opportunity to play at IMG, who said they were gonna have a season no matter what happened with COVID. So I went down to IMG, played there for a year. Unfortunately, broke my foot towards the tail end of our season. I decided to rehab it at home, which was in North Carolina at the time where my mom was working. I spent a year at the Asheville school, which was a really cool and prestigious school down there. And then my senior year, I wanted to play competitive basketball like I had my freshman and sophomore year, and I had been doing it on the AAU circuit. So I had the opportunity to go to La Lemire and took it immediately. It was a great school. I'm super thankful that I got to graduate from there. Love all my coaches, teammates, friends there. It's a really spot I hold near and dear to my heart. So those are the schools I went to. And then I had the opportunity coming out of high school to go to Wisconsin, and I took that opportunity. It was a dream come true. Something as a Badger fan, I grew up dying to go there, and I spent the year there. I learned a lot. Learned it probably wasn't the best fit for me overall, but I'm really thankful for all the coaches and teammates that I met and learned there. And then I had the opportunity to play high-level basketball again at Seton Hall, and I couldn't turn that down to play in the Big East. So yeah, that's why I took that opportunity to play for a great coach like Shaheen, who had been to an Elite Eight just coming off an NIT championship. I was thinking, man, this is a really special person to play for, sure, and build a connection with. So I'm really thankful for that year, too. I just don't think the style they played with ended up matching my game. But again, I'm really thankful for all those coaches. Still really close with them. I actually got to see one of them who was on staff at Bryant this past week. So just all the connections I've made through all these schools they're still close with me, and all the players I've played with I'm still friends with and still talk to, and they know they can text me anytime and I'll always be up for a conversation. So I've been everywhere. I've met a whole lot of people, and I'm super thankful for it all because it's kind of put me in a spot to know a bunch of people in the basketball world when I'm done.
When did you first meet Noah Barnett? I know you were teammates at one time in there.
Yeah, Noah Barnett and I met. We were teammates on the City Rocks over the summer, and I actually didn't really like Noah at first. I didn't get along because he played really physical in practice, and he just played hard, and I was always like, man, this is AAU. Like, you're not supposed to be going this.
That sounds like Noah.
You hit me with some elbows, and we're just in a rebound intro, man. Like, relax a little bit. But, I mean, off the court, he was so much fun, such a blast to hang out with. He actually came over to my grandparents' house on one of the trips, and my grandma still talks about him to this day, just how fun he was and how vibrant he was, and it was just a blast. Noah's a big, huge fan favorite in the Alden household.
Still is here in Catamount Country as well. If somebody hasn't watched you play basketball before, how would you kind of describe your style, and what's a big strength of your game?
Yeah, I mean, if you've watched professional basketball, I obviously draw the comparisons to Nikola Jokic. If you're a college basketball fan, I grew up modeling my game after Frank Kaminsky and Drew Timmy. Those are my two favorite college players. I guess someone told me one time that I kind of look like a plumber who just is out there playing basketball, just hanging out. Like, if you've never seen basketball before, you would look at me and be like, man, he's probably going to be at the end of the bench clapping and cheering on his teammates all game. And then you see me come out of the starting lineup and you're like, hold on. And you get it like 10, 15 minutes in the game, you're like, oh, he can play a little bit. And I think like it just kind of not fitting the eye test has always been fun for me, and kind of people being like, I really didn't expect that of you, or I would have never expect you to be a basketball player. Like, I see people, they're like, left tackle, offensive guard. I'm like, no, I'm a center, actually. But, and they're like, oh, you're on the offensive line. I'm, no, I play basketball, but I appreciate it. Yeah. So it's cool to kind of be a little different, and I'd say, like, a dancing polar bear, too. That's how I like it, yeah.
Taking a very quick break with Gus Yaldin, the Gus Bus returns on Catamount Insider next.
Morgan Stanley Wealth Management values long-term relationships with its clients. Built on servicing clients well, relationships spanning decades. Your local Morgan Stanley Wealth Management office knows that building relationships begins with getting to know each of our clients. That's because each investor has different goals. For more information, call 658-2424. Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC.
Played with the emotion that you play with these days? Is that something that's always been a part of you?
Yeah, I don't know if it's always been like the biggest part of me, but it has. Like, I've always been the guy to celebrate, and like if I hit a three, like throw something up or do something after I get an and one, be loud. Like, but I think like over the years it's gotten more and more like popular with me and other people is because of the reaction I get from it. And it's just, it's not that I'm out there looking for me, like react to me. Like if I hit a shot and we're on a run or we need to go on a run and that place starts to get going a little bit, it helps all of us. It helps our coaches, helps my teammates. It helps the fans get going. Like it's awesome. And like, that's my biggest thing is I want to get that place going. I want to get like a fun environment for us to play in, for people to want to come back to night after night, and for a place our coaches are like, man, we've got an advantage tonight. Like I'm good with us playing at home.
I'm going to ask you about the home atmosphere in a moment, but what's that like on the road? What do you do when you're interacting with road fans? Because I know you hear it from them, but they hear it from you as well.
Yeah, I mean, I hear it from them the whole game. So if at the end when we're winning or when I make a nice play, it's always nice to remind them of who I am and what I do. And at the end, like, it's all enjoyment. Like I really appreciate those guys for coming out and honestly saying stuff, because if they weren't saying stuff, then I wouldn't be playing the way that I am, and I wouldn't be motivated to be out there playing hard. So it's a fun two-way street. I mean, I always want to keep it respectful. You don't want to say anything terrible about them or have them say anything too bad about me. So you want to keep it as respectful as you can. But at the same time, it's competitive, and it's always fun to be competitive. So you let that go a little bit.
The fans here in Vermont have responded to you, and it's been fun to see you build that relationship here at home over the last couple of games and over the last few months. What's that been like from your perspective to be here and have them just clearly respond when you do things well?
I love it here. It's been amazing. The fans have been so great to me, so great to my mom. Like, we go out to dinner downtown, we see people shake my hand, take pictures with me. Like, it feels really special to be welcomed by such an amazing community, and they've got so many great athletes to choose from and to cheer for that I feel really special that I'm one of the ones that they really resonate with and really like. Like, we've got an amazing girls basketball team with some really good players. Like, Nicola Prieta's been so much fun to watch this year. She's really like one of the best post players I've seen play girls basketball. She's really, really, really fun to watch, and I think like just getting the reactions they get for me, it's really special to make me feel like one of the guys in such an elite group of athletes.
This weekend, then, we've got a couple of big games here in Patrick Gym. Thursday, we're going to be airing this interview Thursday morning. UMBC comes to town, currently tied for first. What do you need from the fans this weekend?
I mean, we need it to be as loud as possible in here, and I know sometimes that's not the most thing you would describe Patrick as is loud, but I think we got to get the students here. We got to get you guys standing up. We know you're at the main game. We really appreciated the support. We need you guys standing in the section. We need you guys loud. We need signs. We need energy from everyone here at these games, because getting that home conference seed means you guys get playoff basketball here in Patrick, which is ultimately the goal, is to play playoff games and win a championship here in front of you guys. So it's a huge, huge weekend. We need all the support we can get. Tell your friends, tell their friends, tell their friends' friends, tell their dogs, whoever. Get anyone here.
Do you have a favorite celebration?
I guess the arrow. I've shot the arrow for a while, so I'd say that one's probably my favorite. Derek Queen, who is in the NBA now, hit me with this when I was in high school. And I was like, man, that's really, I'm going to take that from him, because that's really good. So that's one I kind of learned recently, and I've implemented a lot, but I think it's also pretty good.
What goes through your mind in those moments when you hit a big shot or your teammates make a big play and you get out the goggles sometimes after a pass? Are you thinking about the celebrations at all? Or it feels like sometimes it just explodes out of you almost.
Yeah, I'd say it's more like it just explodes out of me. Like, I'm a big movie guy, so I tend to like pull a lot of things from movies. And one of my favorite movies is The Gladiator. And at the end, one of the scenes in the arena where he kills someone, he throws up his arms and the sword and he screams, "Are you not entertained?" That's kind of what it feels like to me. It's like, I'm here for you guys. Like, we want you guys to be entertained. If you're not entertained, like, what's the point? Like, you guys got to get loud. Like, get this place going now. So that's kind of what I feel, or in that moment, what I'm kind of trying to express.
Is it more fun for you when you're engaging with the crowd like that? I feel like it makes you play better basketball almost.
Yeah, I think it does for sure. But just because it gives me some like a reason to get going and a reason to keep playing well. Like, I'm always better with my back against the wall or someone like with some pressure on me. So when they kind of I feel like I need this place to keep going, or I just celebrated and got us going, now I can't fall off and be quiet for the next 10 minutes of play. Like, got to keep playing hard, keep entertaining the fans, keep putting on a show for them to keep coming back for.
How long have you gone by the Gus Bus?
It's actually been a nickname since I was like 7, 8 years old. Have you ever seen the old baseball movie, The Benchwarmers?
Of course.
Yeah, that's where I got it from, the Gus Bus. And I mean, it was kind of accurate too. When I played hockey as a kid, I was huge. I was so much bigger than everyone. There was no checking allowed, but like they couldn't stop me if I had the puck from just like going through people. So I'd average like a hat trick a game. I've got all the hat trick patches in my room. And it's like, I was like the Gus Bus, but I was still a kid just beating up on other kids.
People just bouncing off.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like that. It was a lot of fun. I miss hockey. It was so much fun.
When did you stop playing hockey and focus on basketball?
I stopped playing hockey in 7th grade and wanted to focus more on basketball. And it's actually funny. My hockey coach had a meeting with my mom and I at the end of the season. He's like, "You know, I think he's too tall. I don't think this is his sport." And I was like, "All right, I guess, okay."
So, what was your favorite part of hockey?
I love just being able to hit people. That's my favorite thing. I'm a physical guy. Like, in my game, I'm bumping physical. I set hard screens. And, like, if I lost the ball in basketball, I would love to just run down the court and slam someone into the boards or something. So, like, I can't really do that.
No.
You just hit them back a little bit. But that was my favorite thing in hockey, was just you make a mistake, oh, well, just go be more physical than the next guy. So that's what I love.
Let's talk about this season a little bit. Your first appearance came on the road against Northeastern. Mm-hmm. Coming off the bench that day, and, yeah, you put on a show. You helped the team win a big, really big road win. What was that like to finally get out there after kind of waiting for a few games and kind of biding your time to get out there and make an immediate impact?
It was a little stressful and anxious at first for me to go out there and kind of be like, all right, like, I've missed the few games, I've missed the exhibitions, I've missed everything. Like, I wonder what the flow is going to be like. I knew what it had felt like all summer in practice and all fall, but I knew, like, I didn't know what it was going to be like in the game. You can only replicate it to so much. So it was cool to kind of go out there and see what it really felt like. And then when I got out there, just to kind of like actually feel the trust from the coaches and the players. Like, everyone always says, we trust you, or we got you, or this play is going to you, or you're going to be a big part of the offense or something moving forward. And then to actually kind of see it come to life in front of you was awesome for me, and it was really special. And that Northeastern game was really cool too. Like, I had family who grew up in that area, and to know, like, they'd gone to games at Matthews Arena for so long. Wow. So to kind of close out Matthews Arena and say I was the last person to get a win in there, it's cool. It's like a personal accolade I'll hold with me and forever almost. Yeah.
Coach Becker is such a defensive-minded guy and how he coaches the game. What's that been like for you to experience, and how have you and he worked together on your defensive game?
Yeah, I mean, he loves me and he hates me at some times. There's our days. It's what he's won championships on, and it's what's worked. So how can you not blame him for wanting to have that success? But I also think that as college basketball has kind of evolved with everything going on outside of the sport, inside of the sport's also evolved too. Like, you see games being more in the 80s and the 90s, and like that's because of the offense being played. It's not because the defense getting worse. It's just the higher quality of looks and players who are coming into the game. And I think he knows that too. So it's just kind of working on making a balance of it. And I think it's obvious I'm not the best defender in the world, but working with him, he's just kind of taught me that there's ways to kind of work around that between different angles, different kind of moves, different kind of things you shouldn't be doing but you could still do and get away with it. So I think he's really helped me kind of become a more solid defender and more capable defender, and we're working as I'm here and as I develop to become a better defender and a good defender for this team, because that's what it takes to win championships, and he's shown that.
We've talked about your post play a good bit, but part of your threat has been the three-point shooting this year. Have you always been a good three-point shooter, or is that a development at this stage of your career?
Yeah, I've always loved shooting three. My mom was a post player, and she like took one three-pointer on her whole career. So it wasn't something that she loved teaching me, but it was something that the other coaches around her taught me all the time. And I was in the gym all the time. She was a basketball coach from the time I was in second grade all the way through sixth grade, and even before that, before I even remember. But kind of like what I would learn was just I'd shoot with these guys. They'd teach me my form and everything, and I loved being out there and working on that more than the post moves. But we put it in a play my fifth grade year. It was called Fire in the Hole. It was for Gus to shoot a three at the end of the game if we were up by a lot of points, and I made a couple of fire in the holes that year. So I've always been a somewhat of a three-point threat.
All right, that leads us to today's winning moment of the week, brought to you by Vermont Lottery. More reasons to play, more reasons to win. The end of the Bryant game. Bryant kind of hanging around the entire time. They cut it to close to one possession there, and your team calls a timeout. Out of the timeout, you come out and nail a three. The next two possessions, you set up TJ Hurley. He makes a couple of threes. Can you walk me through that stretch of the game?
Yeah, in the timeout, they were trying to draw up a post-up for me, and I was like, you know, it's not really been my game. I think at the time I was maybe 3 for 9, and I'd missed a lot of bunnies around the rim, and I was thinking, TJ's got it going. Like, we got to get the ball into TJ's hands. So we call a play for TJ, and they happen to overhelp on him and kind of give me a little bit more space. And with that extra space, I was able to get a three up. And the shooter-shoot mentality, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So I wasn't going to move the ball because I'd missed two or three earlier in the game. Like, I wanted to take that shot. I've made that shot here a couple of times for us in big moments, and it's a shot I know I can make at any time of the game. So it took that, made it, and then next possession they came down. You have to close out on me a little harder because I just made that one before. Was able to get a paint touch, see my best shooter on the team, best shooter in the conference, one of the best shooters in the country, wide open at the top of the key. You got to give it to him, got to trust he's going to knock it down, does his job, comes down, does it again. It just really separates it. So I just think that the level of trust between my coaches, me, TJ, Ben Johnson, Sean, TJ Long, like our whole team, we all just trust each other to make the right play for each other and to go out there and win. So it was a little selfless of me in the moment to be like, I want this ball to go to TJ, and it kind of came back to me. And whatever we need to win, we need to do, and I'm just happy it worked.
Did you know it was down as soon as you let it go?
I didn't, no, because I thought the other two I shot in the first half were down. So I was like, oh, man, I just hope this one goes in.
Sure did. Your relationship with Sean, you two played together a lot in the preseason. I remember just loving watching you guys as kind of that two-man game, and such a different player than you, but you're both offensive weapons. How has that relationship grown?
Yeah, I think Sean and I butted heads at the beginning of the year a little bit, like in the summer when we first got here, just because we're kind of fighting for like that alpha spot on the offense, like who's going to be the guy for us. And I think like as we started to play more and more together, there doesn't need to be an alpha. There needs to be two guys who are like really good basketball players with the ball in their hands. Sean is so fast, so good at creating from the point guard position. Like setting screens for him it's so easy. I just bump the guy and he's boom, gone. He creates so many advantages for us in transition. He's so lethal because he can get to the rim, find shooters, play off 2 feet, find me in the trail. He's been so much fun to play with, and he's such, like, he's only getting better too. Like, this is his first year of real like college basketball games as his mind, so right. We're both kind of growing together in that, and I think we've gotten a lot better, and we're only, the ceiling can only be it can only go up from here.
You've played with so many great players throughout your time. What makes TJ Hurley special and different?
I think it's his work ethic and his just desire to be the best. Like, he's always in the gym, like always, always in the gym. And he'll encourage you to get in the gym with him. But even if he's not like texting you to get in the gym, you just come in here, he's in here doing something. After games, if you're lucky enough to stick around long enough, you'll even see him with his jersey on getting shots up after the game.
Like, yeah.
He just loves basketball. He loves everything about it, and he takes it so personally. Like he was so upset after that main game last year or he thought he didn't do enough. And I think, like, he's done plenty for this team and this program, and, like, it's our job to just remind him on those off days, for those off games. Like, you're our guy. Like, you've been here for 4 years. This is your team, your program. Like, lead us. Let us support you. Like, let me kind of energize you on those down nights. So he's so much fun to watch, so much fun to play with. Like, I have a tremendous amount of respect for him as a player and a person. He's someone I'll have in my life for a long time.
This program obviously has had so much storied success in recent memory. But you mentioned last year's loss to Maine in the AmeriKey semifinals. Can you kind of still feel that around the team at times? Like, even though you weren't here at that point, can you feel the hunger to get back and get back atop the conference from those guys who were here?
Yeah, I mean, when I got here in the summer, like, the desperation to win a championship felt like a team who hadn't won one in 20 years. Like, it was like the standard is the standard, and that's championships or championship games.
You
can see as Coach Becker talks about and as he's shown, like, we win here. And so, like, coming off last year where you didn't even play for a championship game, it was like, that's weird and that's not normal. And now it's like, that's not what we want to have happen. That's not what we want to be. Like, I mean, every like great run has an end, but we don't plan on being the end of that run. No one wants to be put down in the storybooks as the guys who kind of fizzled it out in the end. We want to be the guys who kept it going, who took it to the next level. So I think that was the message to us, was to take us back to the promised land, get us back to the top of the conference. And that's what we've been doing and what we've been working hard on the court, in the weight room, in the classroom, off the court. We've all just been striving to have a championship mentality in everything we do.
Gus, I don't think there's a better spot than we could end it than right there. Do you have one last message for the fans as they come out to support you this weekend?
No, we just need you guys to be there, be loud, be supportive, make a ton of noise, make it hard for UMBC and NJIT to walk out of here with wins. We're going to do our part. You guys do yours, and see you there. Go Catamounts.
Thursday at 7 p.m., everybody, and then NJIT Saturday here at Patrick Gym. I hope you'll be here. Talk to you then, everybody. He's Gus Yaldin. I'm Brian McLaughlin. This has been Catamount Insider. Thanks to Gus Yaldin for joining us on Catamount Insider this week. Just a guy who, when you watch him play, you can't help but really realize how much he gets out of the game. And it feels like sometimes he is playing with so much emotion. I don't know how he processes it. And I think he's struggled to balance that at times throughout his career and throughout the season. But he is really playing some good basketball. As we touched on, he's scoring 16 points per game, leading the Catamounts and rebounding with over 5 boards a game. He's become an integral part to this Vermont team that looked to get back to the top of the America East Conference. I loved his answer about fighting for desperation when looking to return to the top of the America East this season. So I hope you enjoyed that interview as well, because Gus is a real treat to get to talk to. He's an emotional and an expressive kid, and so I've wanted to sit down with him for quite some time, and I hope you learned a little bit about one of the more outgoing athletes we've got around Catamount country. Well, that does it for us this week. I hope you enjoyed this special Thursday episode. If you are listening with us live Thursday morning or Thursday afternoon, come on out to Patrick Gym this weekend. The Catamounts could really use you on your feet, standing, making as much noise as possible. Support them when they're down. Support them when they're up. That's the beauty of being a fan. But hope to see you this week and this weekend at Patrick Gym. Good luck to all the Catamount teams out there. It's another big week for the women's basketball team, also currently tied for first at the top of the conference. So big times around Catamount country. Hope to see you around Burlington or elsewhere. Never hesitate to come say hello. I'm Brian McLaughlin. We'll talk to you next week on Catamount Insider.